Tell me a little bit about you, Glenn Baxter. You were born, obviously, in England. Whereabouts?
I was born in a little hamlet in Yorkshire called Leeds.
May I ask how old you are?
I was born in 1944. Mm-hmm. Which makes me what?
Oh, gee, I don't have my calculator. It's going to take me a while to figure
Neither do
that.
I.
Give me a little of your background.
I was born in Leeds, and I went to school and college there. And I left art college in 1965, and I came to live in London. And I taught children at the Victoria and Albert Museum there for a while. And then I taught in a couple of different schools. And then I taught at Goldsmiths College. And I didn't start doing these books until much later, of course. I originally started writing, and I got very interested in poetry in the middle 60s. And one of the people who I really liked was Frank O'Hara. And gradually I began to correspond with writers who lived in New York, poets. And they eventually invited me over to read from my what were then short stories in 1974.
Who were some of those writers?
The writers were Ron Padgett, Larry Fagin, Bill Savatsky, and Gilbert Elmslie. And these were all people whose work I'd seen in tiny mimeograph magazines, which came to England at that time. And I was particularly interested in not only their own work, but in the fact that they translated a lot of my favourite authors of French surrealist poetry, which was something that I'd picked up on at art college. So there was a kind of a connection there that I sympathised with, and that's what brought me to New York originally.
Had you intended to do the kind of artwork that you are doing? I hesitate calling your work cartoons, but how would you describe what you are doing?
They're just little drawings with captions underneath, really. The captions are often wrong. It's up to the viewer to try and make some sense of what I've created here.
Is that possible?
I doubt it.
Why do you... I have a lot of questions I want to ask you. I'll get to this in a minute. Had you intended to become an artist in your current style when you were in art school? What did you set out to do? Or was this it?
Oh, I always had an idea that I wanted to be an artist. Even from being about 4 years old, I just used to draw all the time. And I couldn't possibly think of doing anything else, really. And so it was only natural that I found myself at art college. And then I tried to do painting while I was there, but it became increasingly difficult. And I had an interest in the English language from a very peculiar viewpoint. When I was a young boy, I had a terrible stammer, and I couldn't say certain words in the English language. I would often go on a bus ride, say, and not being able to ask for the correct fare, I would have to make up a fare that was twice as expensive, but I could actually say it. So it cost me a fortune to travel around. But I had terrible problems with pronouncing words. And later on, when I'd gradually overcome this by having treatment and therapy, what have you, I began to realize that I had become really fascinated with the way words sound and also the way words look on the paper. And years later, I realized that this is precisely what I do in my books. The words are very carefully chosen, and they have a kind of special resonance in relation to one another.
So the words are very much of an integral part of your drawing.
Oh, yeah. I used to write short stories and do drawings separately, and then somewhere along the line, the idea of kind of mixing those two together came along, and the result is what you have in these books now.
When I was a kid, the books that I read in my grandmother's home, or published around the turn of the century, were almost always illustrated, and always with captions under the illustration. I would assume these same books gave you the idea for your format, for your approach.
Oh yeah, I had lots of books as a child, and I used to love the adventure stories and the Tales of the British Empire and Tales of Daring Do, which were always the most incredible adventure stories, were always portrayed in the most deadpan fashion. And there seemed to be a kind of a universal style for depicting these startling images, as if there were kind of 8,000 artists all drawing in the same way. And that idea really appealed to me, that there was a kind of this universal deadpan style. I really picked up on that, and I tried to kind of recreate a world as insane as the world outside us now on paper.
You use pen and ink primarily?
Yeah.
Or exclusively, I guess?
Yeah, some of the drawings are in color, but basically they're pen and ink.
In color, what do you do? You use watercolor or what?
Sometimes I use watercolor, and sometimes I use color pencils.
Do you draw exclusively in a studio environment, or do you draw any place?
Well, I've got a little desk at home that I work on, and I do drawings and paintings there, and I still write little stories there also.
So you are still writing stories as such?
Oh, yeah.
Your work is being exhibited, is that correct? It's not just in book form?
No, yeah, it's been shown in galleries. In fact, the first exhibition I ever had was here in New York in 1974. I had an exhibition of large color drawings that I'd done at the Gotham Bookmark Gallery on 47th Street. And I'd shown in galleries for about 4 or 5 years before eventually I got around to doing the books. So the art gallery side, the showing of the paintings and drawings side, came first.
The Gotham is a big supporter of Gorey. You know his work?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the most marvelous points of my trip to the Gotham Bookmark originally, was meeting Edward Gorey and finding we had lots of things in common. And, I mean, obviously I'd seen his work before, and I thought it was terrific. And he was one of the first people to encourage me, as I'd had little encouragement in England. It was really terrific to have somebody like Edward Gorey, whose work I admired, to be kind and helpful to me then.
You said a moment ago that you wanted to show in your drawings the insanity of the world. Just how insane is the world, from your point of view?
Well, I think in New York it's pretty much
come on, let's hear it straight. I'm a New Yorker, I can take it.
Well, you know what it's like out there. It just seems incredible coming from England. There's a thousand little incidents every day that you see over here on the streets that somehow get fragmented into my mind, and I have to go straight back home and lay down on the couch.
Some examples.
One of the things that I find incredible is that people misunderstand what I say, and I try and listen to what American people are saying, and somehow the kind of language gets garbled. And so what I presume starts out as logical, structured sentences finishes up as kind of absolute gibberish, and it kind of resonates in the brain. And little mental pictures keep popping in. I find this most exhilarating, usually.
Well, you come to the wrong city if you wanted to see how Americans speak. I mean, New York is part of America.
Sure, I realize that, yeah.
It's not only traditionally has it been separate from the rest of the United States. Anthony Burgess, who very fine writer. I guess he's back in England now, but he at one point he was teaching at the City University of New York. He had written a book called The Clockwork Testament, which you may have read, mm-hmm. which is set in New York on the West Side, where he lived, and he would take the subway up to CCNY, and he had a nightmare world. His character was in a nightmare world, but the thing that struck him was that there were no Americans around. Everybody was a foreigner. Nobody spoke the English language. You could hear Spanish and French from the Haitians, but he never could hear English, so it was a strange world to him. He had come to America, and yet he couldn't find any Americans in New York. And indeed, it is an extremely mixed city that I don't think it resembles any other city in the United States. Have you done a lot of traveling in the U.S.?
I've only been to New England and to Texas.
Well, that should tell you something. New England is indeed, many parts of New England, indeed, are very much like parts of England.
Yeah.
And Texas doesn't resemble anything anything else in the United States that I know of, except it has a strong Anglo-Saxon and German heritage there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but outside of New York, what about, we talk about the insanity of living and how often it seems to be represented in so many ways in your books. How is this represented in relationships just in general?
That's difficult to say, really. I try and look at the world and make sense of it through these drawings. They're the scribbles of a helpless man, really. The world is a very peculiar place, and I try to comment on this in these books, really.
I guess I'm not trying to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm just trying to find out why you think the way you do and how I can see how it's manifested in many respects. For example, I noticed that many of the characters in your drawings have tails.
Mm-hmm.
Can you shed some light on that?
Well, there's a great tradition in English illustration of creatures, animals, dressed as human beings and vice versa. It always struck me as being very peculiar that a character like Rupert the Bear, who's got a bear's head and human hands, has this rather strange tail popping out of the back of his trousers. Now, presumably, these trousers are specially made by a tailor who can accommodate the different types of tail that exist in the animal kingdom. And I think once you begin to start off down that train of thought, I think you're in big trouble.
It's like the old animated cartoon characters always had white gloves.
Three fingers.
Some three fingers, that's mm-hmm. true. It's very hard to play the guitar. What kind of reaction do you have in the British Isles to your work?
Shock, horror. Well, I didn't have any reaction until just recently. As I said earlier, that I came to New York because people liked what I was doing, and only just recently have the British public woken up and began to complain. Really,
in what way?
Oh, they've been buying the books and writing in letters asking me why people wear tails in my drawings, and such like.
I'm sorry I asked. So they appear to be offended, is that right?
No. I think they're taking it manfully now. With a stiff upper lip, I hope.
What's next for Glenn Baxter? What are you going to be working on in the future?
Well, I just finished my autobiography, which will be published in England later this year. And I'm working on a television program based around that, which would also be coming out later this year. And I'm just painting and working on some prints, really.
You're a very young man to start an autobiography. You must have covered a lot of ground in your life.
Well, I thought that I would do my entire life, but in fact, there was so much material from my childhood that I stopped at the age of 18, leaving room for volume two.
Wait, is it going to be illustrated?
Oh yeah, there's I think it's about 120 illustrations in it with captions and.
I'll be very interested to see that. Thank you very much for coming in.
Pleasure.
Hey, Cynthia.